The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station.
Sports.
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 So they just sit there and talk about sports?
Yeah, and there's so many good things to say about your Rockets. And a lot of other stuff happening. You know what? We got college football Saturday. Just now realize that. Well, not really. I realized that earlier today when I was handicapping the games. Let's do this. It's a Tuesday on the Blitz.
Shall we begin?
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, this is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN97.5.com.
Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And the Blitz is on for a Tuesday. Welcome to the greatest show in the history of the known universe. With me, Fred Fowler, the Falcon, A.J. Hoffman, Chocolate Braveheart, Aaron Rabold, Lord Voldemort today. If you want to get in, 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776, or you can get us on the Blitz Facebook page. Find the Blitz, click like, send a message. Aaron will read it. There's Twitter, at Fred Fowler, F-A-O-U-R, at AJ is the real, at Aaron is Blitz, at Degenerates975. You can text the show, you know the number for that. I know it's a Tuesday, so try to keep the nonsense to a minimum. And you can watch us on Twitch. Just go to twitch.tv/ESPN975, get on there, and there will be commentary during the breaks as well, so you can enjoy the show many ways. There's the app, there's all those wonderful things. I would listen on the radio or listen on Twitch. That would be what I would do if I were driving around looking for something to do. It's happening, Hoffman. Happy Tuesday, man.
Happy Tuesday, Freddie. How you doing, bud?
Fan-freaking-tastic. Fan-freaking-tastic.
All right,
today.
Well, that's great news. Should be a great show, then.
I hope so.
You're as high as Chris Paul right now. You're living on cloud nine.
Well, we'll see if it lasts the whole show, because I've got this whole adrenaline rush going, because, you know, I told you we bought those dumbbells. Today's the first day I did my full-on hardcore workout.
Oh, you're such a man.
The first workout like that I've done since, you know, they shut down 24-hour fitness, right?
Right.
And I survived it, and I feel really good, and I'm like, okay.
Congrats.
You know, this is the first step. So like a month from now, I'll be laughing at what I did today, but it's a first step from not having done anything in forever. So I'm pretty excited. Feeling really good. Yeah, it's just a good feeling when you get through a workout, you know, and you're like, hey, I didn't think I was going to be able to do it because I'm old and I'm fat and I drink too much.
I always believe in myself. I always believe that I'm going to get through it and probably do more than I said I was going to do, because that's just kind of the man I am.
I've always gotten good at that. Same thing when I run. I turn my brain off, basically.
Oh, well, that's easier for you than it is for me.
Well, you know, I have a more active brain than you, right. So it needs rest. But it's like, and I, before you, I realize that I'm halfway through the workout. So, and then if the weather idiots are right and it's cool next week, I'm going to start running again.
Okay.
So I'm feeling like.
Any update on that? Is it supposed to be 28 degrees next week or something?
I'll have to check the 10-day forecast.
Okay.
But the last I saw, it was like 60s and low 80s, which I will take that tomorrow. And well, not tomorrow, next Wednesday, a week from tomorrow. But, I'll check to see if the weather forecast has been updated. And let's see. Starting with, it's going to be like 90s and high 70s all the way through next Wednesday. 82-68 a.m. thunderstorms. 81-67, 85-67, 88-70. So that's 4 days in a row that won't suck. Then it's going to get back to like 89-72. Even that's not bad.
Not bad.
Under 90 for a high?
Yeah.
So that's like 5 days, really. It doesn't get back up to 90 until Tuesday the 15th, if they're right.
Okay. But the whole 50s thing, we're agreeing that's nonsense.
Yeah, that's weather dude shouldn't have tweeted that out.
Okay.
It might be in the 50s in, say, Huntsville.
Or Colorado.
Yeah, or Amarillo.
Amarillo.
By morning.
Up from San Antone.
So,
everything that I got is just what I got on.
Oh, boy. So, your beloved Rockets yesterday pulled off another strong
finish. You told
me
it was over.
It should have been. But you know what? The one thing is occasionally when they can't hit shots and they get in a close game, they just can't win. And you know what? I still think they're winning the series, but I don't want to hear from Rocket fan about, oh, we got a chance against the Lakers.
Here's the problem the Rockets are basically like a Mike Leach offense. They get to a certain, like, even when they're up, you would think it's Kyle Shanahan in the Super Bowl.
Remember we had this whole discussion, but I use that air raid example, like that you can't run the ball.
They are the worst team with a lead. Like I never feel good with the Rockets having a lead in the fourth. And I keep hearing today everybody say, well, if the Rockets jump out to a big lead, I'll feel good in game seven. Not me.
No.
There's no lead is safe with these jabronis. This is
and I'll definitely not feel good if it's a 2-point game with a minute left. Either way.
Yeah.
Because they're going to find a way to turn the ball over and make stupid mistakes. And, you know, I like I said, I still think they win. If they don't, then, boy, you got to blow some stuff up. Some people got to go.
Well, we already know that D'Antoni's probably gone at the end of this year. I mean, that's kind of just while it hasn't been said out loud by the Rockets, we just kind of assume that's going to be the case. If they lose in the first round to the team that they just, you know, gave up extra to swap point guards with because James needed Chris Paul out to succeed, and then you lose to Chris Paul, boy, I don't know if I say this before about Daryl Morey, so maybe saying it now is silly because I've said it before and yet he always does. I don't know how Daryl Morey survives that. You make that move, and let's face it, a lot of it is James Harden's fault because we know who's really the trigger man on these things is James Harden. But James Harden's just it's not a tradable asset right now.
No.
So that tells you, well, you've got one other guy you can get rid of. To me, I'd have a new head coach and a new GM in here tomorrow. I would try my best to move Russell Westbrook if I could. I would try my best to move Eric Gordon. I would hit total reset on this thing.
I don't think you can because you still got to keep Harden. I think a new coach, new GM, and you build around Harden and Westbrook for one more run. And because I don't think you can just...
I'm so sick of acting like the Rockets are anything more than just an also-ran in the West. The West is going to be better next year. Every other team is getting better next year. The Rockets, they don't have the room to get better.
And that's the thing. You bring in a new GM... What are you going to do?
What's this GM? What's his big splash move? He has no room. He has no assets.
Yeah, you're going to have to find a way to build some pieces around those guys, which is what Morey's been trying to do. And if you lose this, you can't say it worked. You have to call it a failure.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I think they're going to win. And I think then everybody's going to be like, oh, and they'll probably win easily. And I'll be, oh, they're going to give the Lakers. They're not giving
the
Lakers.
Well, this is the worst thing about Rockets fan. When the Rockets win... I thought you guys said the Thunder could hang with the Rockets. Thought you guys said the Thunder, Thunder's so badass, huh? And then the Rockets lose to the Thunder, and you say, why are they losing to the Thunder? Everyone said before, it's a close series. It's not like the Thunder are just some scrubby team. Well, they were a scrubby team after you were beating the snot out of them in the first two games. It's just the worst. Just own it, man. Your team is not – they're not what you thought they were. And I wonder if guys like – Jason Braddock's not in here tonight. But I wonder if these guys who were talking about the Rockets like they were a legitimate title contender will come in and say, you know what? I was just wrong. They're not as good as I thought they were. Because Jason said after the Lakers, Clippers, Bucks, he's like the Rockets are probably the next team. I mean, there's no way you can think that right now. No way. Would you take the Celtics or the Rockets?
I'd take the Celtics right now based on what I've seen, but
I'd take the Heat right now over the Rockets.
Yeah, but the thing is the Rockets keep giving you hope.
They never give me hope.
Well,
you know
not
why?
You. No,
it's
but
the
listen,
same nonsense.
No,
they run out every year.
I'm not talking about you. I'm talking about fans. The reason they give them hope is because they have these games where they play, where it actually works, and they look like a contender.
Well,
they just don't have enough of them, and they're not consistent enough. That's the issue. But I blame you for this. This is all your fault.
It's not my fault. Yeah, I've been trying to tell people for many years to stop putting hope in this thing. This is James Harden is not a winner. This is not the guy. They've built this. They've built this thing around a guy who is a he's a crumbler. You cannot expect if this, and let's face it, the last few minutes of that game, I don't know who to blame more. I mean,
it's, yeah,
Russ and James Harden should both look at each other and just go,
"Dude, we suck.
What is wrong with us?"
Yeah, and it was just dumb basketball. That's the problem.
And then after the game, they're like, "Oh, that's really how we drew it up."
Mm-hmm.
And then they talk about like Mike D'Antoni's happy with the defense. Why are you happy with the defense, mate? Like, that's a bad offensive team. That's not good defense. The Thunder just aren't good on offense. And you give them the now, if you turn the ball over 82 times, they're going to have more opportunities to score. So that could be problematic. But I don't understand how you could be happy with anything about that. Because let's face it, we can agree the Thunder didn't play well.
No.
They were trying to lose the game late. The Rockets wouldn't let them lose.
They were ready to go play golf. You could tell. They're like, man, we've had it here. We don't want to go and get swept by the Lakers. Let's just get this over with. And no. And the Rockets are like, nope, we're going to let you win. And Bernardo asked, what point do you move on from Harden? At his best, he still don't get you to the finals, and he's only declining. Trade him while he has value.
There's no trading him. Who can you trade him for that gives you even close to the same?
Well, I mean, if you're talking about blowing the whole thing up and starting from scratch, if you're talking about trading Westbrook, you got to talk about trading both of them.
Well, and now we always say, can you get equal value for them? You can't. I mean, we've talked before. Would the Blazers trade Dame Lillard for James Harden? The answer is no.
Would
the Suns trade Devin Booker? No.
But I mean, Lillard for Harden is the same deal. I mean, they're both the same kind of player. They really are. They're really good regular season players, and you can't trust them.
Well, but here's the other thing: would Dame Lillard be better if you built a system around him the way the Rockets have done for James Harden?
I think the Blazers have tried to do that.
Does
for him,
Damian
too.
Lillard come across as a guy who like is deciding who's staying and who's going as far as personnel?
No, but I just don't think he's any different.
I don't either. Yeah. I'm throwing out comparable assets,
but
nobody's trading a comparable asset for James Harden.
That's not what you're going to wind up doing. What you're going to wind up having to do is trade him to some team like the Knicks that will give up a small child for him.
What do they have?
Well, they're going to have high picks again. They have high picks every year. You just get lottery picks from them. I mean, that's the thing. If you're going to blow it up, that's how you have to blow it up. You can't just say, "Oh, we'll trade Russell." So no, you need to trade the whole thing, burn it down, and start from scratch. And that because otherwise, I mean, if you keep trying to do what you're doing, which is putting a different piece with James Harden every year, it hasn't gotten you there. And you know the problem is, for the longest time, you had to deal with the Warriors. Well, guess what? You're probably gonna have to deal with the Warriors again. So
I'm looking at the money that it would take to trade James Harden. I mean, obviously, in the NBA, you have to match salary, which is a problem when you've got a guy who's making $38 million.
I'm sure you could find like two or three overpaid expiring contracts to take back.
The Knicks would have to give them Bobby Portis, Julius Randle, and probably I don't know, like a Wayne Ellington. So, I mean, but now you're getting literally nothing of value back. You're getting someone to take him away, and you get some draft picks.
But the problem is if you trade him there, the draft picks aren't going to be very valuable because he's going to be good enough in the regular season for them to be a playoff team. Because that's what he is. He can carry a team to the playoffs by himself.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know. I don't know what you can do, but I don't think we're going to have that conversation yet. I think they'll win tomorrow, and then we'll have that conversation after they can't match up with the Lakers. But you know what? You can bet on all that, and you know where you can bet it. My bookie. And if you think the Rockets are going to win tomorrow night, then you can go put a little money on them. And if you think they're not going to, if you're a Rockets fan, you're thinking, oh, man, what if they lose? Well, go bet on the Clippers. Do it all at mybookie.ag. And they've got everything. MLB, NBA, soccer, UFC, golf, NASCAR, college football this weekend. How about that? NHL, I bet a little over on Vancouver tonight. You can bet any college football or NFL game and dial up the fun. Thousands of bets. You got lines, props, in-game. The in-game's great, man, because if you've got a bet that looks like it's not going to hit, you can go the other way and at least break even. They've got all kinds of opportunities for you. Futures bets. You can even bet on who's going to be sitting in the Oval Office here in a couple of months. It's all simple with MyBookie. You bet, you win, they pay. That's the other good part about it. MyBookie, easy to cash out. A lot of these sites, not the case. Join today. They're going to double your first deposit. Just enter promo code RADIO. That's right, promo code RADIO, MyBookie.ag. You bet, you win, they pay. MyBookie.ag, promo code RADIO.
Is the Blitz on ESPN 97.5. You are listening to the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on the Blitz. Don't you worry, son. It will all be over soon. Tomorrow. It's going to be over. No, I'm talking about the Rockets.
Oh.
Yeah, that was a really bad...
I'm not convinced. I'm not convinced the Rockets are winning. They're the same team. They're a middling team, just like the Thunder. Do they have better players than the Thunder? Yes. Should they win? Yes. This is a proven loser, though. I'm not buying into. Oh, don't worry, they're going to win it, because they've never shown me that they can just roll the helmet out and win a game like this. That's not what they are.
No, but you know, neither are the Thunder. That's the thing, and I think they're just...
The Thunder weren't even supposed to make the playoffs, Fred.
No.
The Rockets went into this season expecting to be one of the best teams in the league. Now, you know, fast forward to the end of the season, they're the 4-5. They're the same team. So the Rockets are so great at underperforming expectations, and the Thunder have completely outperformed expectations to the point where there's no reason you should have any confidence in the Rockets.
I don't have confidence in them, but I think they're better than the Thunder, and I don't think that they can lose four games to the Thunder. And we'll find out. But I think the bigger thing is when they do win tomorrow, everybody's going to be like, oh, they... Because if they don't, then yeah, I've already said it. You need to blow up as much as you can, because that's a complete and total failure. And let's not use the bubble excuse. They've had enough games now. And, you know, I think... But I think the bigger issue will be, oh, well, yeah, that was a tough series, but they've got a chance against the Lakers. No, they don't. And it's going to end badly for them. And they'll play well enough to win a game, maybe two, because they'll have one of those games where they go out and shoot really well. And, I mean, they're capable of beating the Lakers one or two games. They're not capable of beating them in seven, though. And you can save that and throw it back at me if I'm wrong, but I'm not. I'm 100% right. But, if they come out and play another... I mean, because the one thing is, they're a very mercurial team. When they play great, they can beat anybody. When they play like they did last night, they can lose to anybody. They could have lost to name your worst team in the league. So, regardless, this is the same Rockets conversation we have every year.
Yeah,
it really is. How will they do in the playoffs?
Ooh. Except we're just having it earlier this year.
No, it's actually later.
Oh yeah, that's true.
If you want to be technical,
earlier in the playoffs.
Yeah, later in the year. And it's freaking... Hey, you know, give them some credit. They're still playing basketball in September. That's got to be a positive, right?
I guess.
Oh, man. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. But the one thing, we always talk about playoff Harden. Have we seen a game from him where you say, hey, you know? And Danimal brings up a good point. Is CP3 showing he can win a game like that? He's a playoff loser, too.
Yeah.
That's the thing. You've got a whole bunch of playoff losers here.
They're all buddies. They're exchanging parts.
Yeah, it's the resistible force versus the movable object is what it is. So I'm not going to be surprised by any of them. Now, let's not pretend Chris Paul is some clutch performer in the playoffs.
Well, he's looked better than Harden in this series.
But in general, no. So, Zach was asking, you guys have anywhere you bet college football props like teams to win conference or national champions? Bovada's limited on that stuff. My bookie's got all that. And I don't mess with Bovada. I've had nothing but bad experiences with them. So
I think James in game five the one that they won by a million points, you looked at that game and you went, oh, that's nice. That's yeah. what I need from Jay. And really, game one, he was pretty good too. The problem is when those games are happening, they're happening in games that are they're blowout games. So, yeah, James ran up the score in game five in a game that, you know, they could have won if he had an average night. When the games are close or when they're down, that's when James has been awful.
James is like a front-running horse, which is shameless plug. Next break, I'll give some quick thoughts on the Derby on Twitch for those of you who want to hear it. But he's the horse that when he makes an easy lead, he's going to coast and he's going to look like a champ and win by eight lengths. But when somebody looks him in the eye, he folds. That's what he is. He's a front-running horse.
I'll be honest. Russell Westbrook, you know, they're saying, oh, well, he's going to be on a minutes restriction in game seven. Yeah, how about restrict him back to no minutes? The offense with Russ out there, like everybody thought, well, they need him out there. I don't know. I don't know if you need that. I don't know if you need it because I'd rather take my chances with them just shooting 100 threes than what I saw out of Russ. With the turnovers and the air balls, it's just
he just did not look good. He did not look good at all. And maybe he's, you know, maybe he's just not right. But I don't know how much of that you can keep throwing out there if he can't get it together. So 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. Yeah. I mean, we won't have Rockets to talk about too much longer.
No.
That was my point.
Well, it may be.
It might be tomorrow. I don't think it will be, but then I thought they'd win last night because, you know, they've at least shown when they play, they don't have to play their best, but when they play pretty well, they're better than this team. They just don't play pretty well often enough. And I didn't think that they would play four bad games against these guys. And if they do, then, you know, we got a different conversation on Thursday.
I mean, I do think it's pretty obvious that at their, you know, at their best, the Rockets are the better team.
Yeah.
The problem is, when are you getting the Rockets at their best? And how often are you getting them?
Yeah. I mean, it's that, but that gets back to what I was saying. They're just not consistent enough at being good. And that's not a team that can contend for a title. If you're not, you have to be consistent. Like, every team's going to lose games in the playoffs. You know, the Warriors didn't win, but they were special. And the Lakers lost a game to the Blazers. They're going to lose games, but they're going to play more good games than bad, and that's why they keep moving on. So, is the over in the Vegas game worth a look tonight? I like the over in that one a little bit, yeah. In fact, I mentioned that in my bookie read. So, but yeah, I mean, it's not one I'm going to go crazy with. I'm really waiting for the next round to start pounding it again. Because some of these games have just not gone like I thought they would. And I thought I didn't play the over on the Avs last night because I thought those teams would tighten up a little bit. And what happens? They give up five goals in the first period. So I do think the Vancouver game goes over tonight. But okay. I don't feel it's a small bet for me. It's not a, you know, take the rubber band off the bankroll bet.
Coward.
I know, but, you know, I'm also protecting my record a little bit, so I'm being a little more selective because I've had a really good run here while they've been in the bubble, and I don't want to go on like a five-game losing streak, and suddenly I'm like,
I mean, if you went on a five-game losing streak, would you still be up?
Oh, God, yeah, but
then what are you protecting your record for? You got the hot hand. You play the hot hand.
Yeah, but it's like a lot of the things that I'm looking for aren't available in these particular games, so I'm just going to wait, and I think the next round I've got some matchup things that I like a lot that, you know, I'm kind of saving my money for that.
You sound like the guy at the blackjack table who's won like 10 hands in a row and you keep reducing your bets.
Well, I mean,
scared money don't make money, Fred.
It's not scared money. It's smart money because I'm not playing as many games because when I am right, I'm hitting bigger. So, and there's plenty to bet on, man. I got the Derby Saturday, college football, and, you know, And
I'll give you a bet.
Well, I'll
you can bet your ass Boomer Naturals makes the best masks.
Yeah, well, you can, because you can see it right here. This is what I wear, all of my Boomer Naturals neck gaiter, and I love it.
And we have the mastermind behind them. Suzanne is on the line with us from Boomer Naturals. Hello again, Suzanne. How are you today?
Hi, I'm fantastic. Hello, everybody from Vegas.
Well, we're discussing these masks the other day, and kind of what separates them. And we talked about how you guys are not only, you know, making these masks, because a lot of people, we see people wearing T-shirts and bandanas and things like that just because they've got to wear a mask, so they're just going to wrap something around their face. I'm a big believer in if you've got to wear a mask, you might as well wear a mask that protects you, right?
You know, absolutely. You know, we all probably know people who have gotten sick, and we are trying to avoid getting ill right now. And so if you've got to go out and about, don't you want to have something that will truly give you protection? And that's what Boomer Naturals offers, is highly protective because of that nano silver that's in those neck gaiters in the two-layer, and that's enhanced in all three layers of our mask.
And we were talking about the fact that you guys donate a mask for every purchase. And so you guys are helping out people in need. What kind of people in need are we talking?
Yeah, we've donated even 40,000 masks to the Veterans Organization in New York, because they were in desperate need for their veterans who we all love. And, you know, Native American organizations, we do an ongoing donation to them because they were hit real hard down in New Mexico and Arizona. And, you know, Boys and Girls Club, we've helped give 15,000 masks. We've got lots of different organizations that have reached out and just said, hey, we need help, and we're happy to do so. So far, we've donated over 140,000 masks, thanks to online orders from your listeners.
All right. Well, you can go to boomernaturals.com. Use promo code Hoffman. You'll get 20% off. You get free shipping with an order of $50 or more. And you're going to be helping out someone in need. Suzanne, appreciate it always. And thank you for doing what you do.
Absolutely. We're also, if you need masks today, we're also in every CVS pharmacy. So stop by your CVS as well.
Oh, beautiful. Thank you, Suzanne. While you whisper to a picture, and if you're still thinking it's just words, you might as well forget what you just heard. I'm serious, but this here is a celebration of life, elevation of self, education via mic.
My name is Bob Lee, and you're listening to ESPN 97.5.
Is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN's your number. Do you want to get in? So, we've actually got college football this weekend.
We had college football last weekend. What are you talking about?
We had one game. Come on. We got real teams like South Alabama this week.
Oh, well, now you're talking. Maybe you forgot we had Austin Peay over the weekend, who got cheated, by the way.
Yeah. That
garbage.
Was last couple minutes of that game was fun. The rest of it was...
Yeah, so it's not good football. Yeah,
you had South Alabama, Southern Miss. You got Middle Tennessee at Army.
Okay.
SMU at Texas State.
Well, honestly, it's bad football, but it's football.
Well... There's Arkansas State at Memphis is not a great game, but how about BYU at Navy? That's not bad.
Okay. I mean, I'll watch it. Who am I kidding?
Well, yeah. So, I mean, at least it's a schedule, right? I mean, it's not great football.
It's something.
I'm kind of curious to see what Memphis looks like.
And, I mean, were you surprised? And maybe not surprised. I don't know if I was shocked.
I feel shocked.
But the fact that there was football and the ratings were poor for football. 501,000 people watched that FCS game on TV, on ESPN. In comparison, we had 848,000 watching the NHL at that same time on NBC Sportsnet, which, I mean... You got to find that channel.
Yeah, it's easier to find now that I've switched over to that Fubo because it remembers what I watch, right. So it pops right up. But yeah.
So the NHL beat the college football by about, 340,000. The NBA had 2.9 million on TNT at that same time. And NASCAR had 3.9 million viewers on NBC Saturday night. So it's eight times the viewership of the college football was a NASCAR game. I get it wasn't a big football game, but it was a football game.
Let's put it in context. What's the best number for an FCS game?
I'd have to look that up for last year's FCS games, but
because that's probably on par with the FCS championship, and there's not a lot of football going on at that time when they're playing.
The FCS kickoff, it happens every year, and this was the lowest rated FCS kickoff. So it's the least watched FCS kickoff ever, dating back to 2014. So
it's your fault for having Austin Peay in there. Who cares?
They were a semifinalist last year. How dare you?
Well, okay. See, that makes more sense when you put it in that kind of context.
So and I wonder. I don't know, man. I'm wondering if people are. We've talked about this potentially just losing interest in sports.
I think that's a possibility.
Or if maybe they're not prioritizing sports the way that. But that said, well, I mean, hell, the NASCAR had 4 million people watching it.
I think if the numbers for, say, the SEC go way down, then you can have a conversation about it. I mean, this is not a game that a lot of people were... Hell, people didn't even know it was happening until we started talking about it last week. And, this week's slate of games, we just went over, not exactly the sexiest. And while I think BYU-Navy's interesting, that's probably going to be horrible to watch. So, if they start having SEC games and Clemson games and Oklahoma games and the numbers are way down, then I'd be worried. So I'm not going to worry too much about Austin Peay in Central Arkansas not doing well. So 713-780-ESPN. I do think I think the rest of those numbers though aren't exactly, I mean, other than the NASCAR numbers, it's not like you're looking at that NBA and saying, wow, that's fantastic for the NBA considering.
No, probably not. Sports.
Maybe that does get to a bigger picture. Maybe people just don't think they need sports anymore. And, and 479 brings this up, and it's always something we need to mention, is like the TV ratings take into account streaming platforms. And no, they don't. I mean, that's part of the problem is all ratings are down because of that. Doesn't mean you have fewer viewers, but it's still a pretty good indication that there weren't a hell of a lot of people watching that football game.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I believe it there. If you tell me there's 531,000 people watching Texans Chiefs, I'm going to say, okay, people are streaming the damn things. And you do find out later what the stream numbers are because they do provide those. So, Bird Gang on Twitch says, I think that was the Daytona race. Yeah, that's one of their big ones for NASCAR. That was Daytona, right?
I don't know, Saturday night. I have no
idea. Yeah, that's like one of their special races, the second Daytona race.
Okay.
I think. But
I mean, what makes it any different than the rest of the races?
Well, they go left in a circle.
That's what I'm saying.
And, Daytona is a big one. Well, because it's the opener. The night race at Daytona is a big one. The Brickyard's a big one.
Why are they bigger than others?
It's just they're more prestigious races.
Aren't all the same people in them?
Yeah, but it's considered a bigger deal to win. It's just like just like in golf where you win the U.S. Open, it's bigger than winning the Bob's Used Car Open.
Even if they're played back-to-back weeks on the same course?
Yeah. Yeah, that kind of thing.
That's stupid. Yeah. That's why I hate those sports. Hmm. Oh, well, he won this week when the pressure was on, when it was at its highest. Yeah, I know they played the same course last week and he didn't make the cut, but this week when it's called the Open Championship.
And he gets that yellow jacket just like Shooter McGavin.
Oh my. Coming through in the clutch. What a big time performer.
You're gonna upset Granato if you make fun of golf.
I don't care.
But yeah, I mean that's I don't know why it is, but some of those races are bigger than others, and I guess bigger purses and things like that. And I know that probably from video games more than anything else. But somebody on one of our NASCAR guys could tell us what the other ones. And then D Vermont says it was the last race before the playoffs, and Jimmy Johnson had to win to get in. So that's. That was a big deal because Jimmy Johnson's dead now. or retiring. Same thing.
Let's see. Is he?
Yeah, well, he's retiring. So, somebody else says, how about the CDC confirming only 6% of people that have died from COVID actually died from COVID? That's a little misleading. That just a big percentage of them had other health issues that contributed to their death. But that's, you know, hey, I was going to save this, but I have more positive news.
Okay.
On the Rona front. You know, the one thing that nobody seems to be reporting, except for us, is how many cases, new cases a day, right? Well, we had a little bad spike the last couple days after having some really good news all week. The numbers were down 700 cases yesterday from the day before. 700 new cases. So 1188, still over 1,000, but we're trending towards having a lot of days under 1,000.
Okay.
So let's...
Well, we're also trending to 55-degree weather.
Yeah. B.S. Flea says you can do an entire show in golf commentator voice. Creeps us all the bleep out in the process. The best one is golf redneck announcer, which we haven't done in a while. But when the opportunity comes up, we will. And it's you don't like to overdo that stuff. You just like to, you know, just like to throw it in there every now and then. But there you go. And I, of course... You know, D says he wrecked and did not make the playoffs. She would know that. She's big on NASCAR. If Trey sobered up, he's probably he could probably tell us all we need to know. But I think we just did, right?
Yeah.
And Stu says we need the bird sounds. No, what we need is the Masters theme, right? It's a tradition like no other. Yeah, that's the way to do it. Yeah. Now he's lining up his putt. And this looks like it's going to break.
You're talking too loud.
Right to left, maybe left to right. I can't really tell.
It's breaking one way to the other.
It's going to go in the hole because that's what he does. In fact, that's...
Who's a good golfer these days?
That guy with all the muscles. What's
Bryson,
his name?
Bryson DeChambeau.
No, it's Bryson Champagne.
Bryson Champagne.
Yeah. He's really good. And...
For birdie. On the famous fourth hole. Here at Augusta. Oh my, what a shot. So close, so close.
You know, if he just would take a little bit.
You're mixing NASCAR with golf.
I am, yeah.
No.
Well, it's more fun.
No.
So it's easy to do golf voice. You can just say, oh, that was a dreadful shot. And frankly, he's probably not getting laid tonight.
He's found himself in the hazard. What a shame. Big opportunity there. Gone wayside.
Who else is good these days?
Ian Poulter. Rory McIlroy. Is he still good?
I don't know. He's still got nice hair. I know that.
Jordan Spieth is no good anymore, huh?
Yeah. What, isn't there another?
He was good for like a year. Remember everybody thought Jordan Spieth was going to be like the next Tiger Woods, and then he just stopped being good.
Isn't there another Jordan that's good right now? Aaron, help me out here.
Jordan Reed.
I don't know. I think there's another Jordan that wins a bunch of.
Do we mention Justin Thomas?
Okay, Justin Thomas.
He's on the cover of the PGA 2K1 we got.
Oh, okay. That's fine.
Oh, what about Jim Furyk?
He's older than me, dude.
Still playing.
But he's playing like the.
No, he's playing PGA Tour, is baby. Hell yeah. Yeah.
All right. Hey,
what about Sergio Garcia?
Sergio.
A man like Sergio, been on the tour so many years, been close so many times. You love to see him break through. Congratulations, Sergio. Well, well earned, well deserved.
After all those years of breaking his boyfriend's heart, he comes through with a victory. Get me the top 10 in the FedEx Cup. I want to see how many of these I actually know. Because I know like Dustin Johnson is the first guy.
Let's see. FedEx Cup rankings 2020. The official standings after the BMW Championship one day ago.
Okay.
Dustin Johnson, number one. John Rahm, number two.
Okay.
So
heard of him.
Justin Thomas, number three.
Okay.
Webb Simpson, OJ's son, number four. That's good.
I think that's his nephew.
Colin Morikawa, five.
Okay. There you go. Not familiar with him.
Daniel Berger, number six.
Not familiar with him.
Harris English, number seven.
Not familiar with him.
Bryson DeChambeau, number 8.
Him I'm familiar with.
Song J.M., number 9.
Not familiar with his work.
Hideki Matsuyama, number 10. Hideki Matsuyama, former left fielder for the New York Yankees, and has found, you know, found a new career. That's impressive.
Him I've actually heard of.
Okay.
I don't know why. And it's not because he played baseball. It's because he's, you know. Wow. That's a really riveting group there that you just read off.
Yeah.
Including a guy named Webb.
There was no Adam Scott, no Jordan Spieth, no Rory McIlroy, no Phil Mickelson. No. They've all gone away. No Bubba Watson.
El Tigre. Don't forget El Tigre. Of course, we knew he sucked.
Jason Day.
Yeah, I remember him.
Yeah, those guys used to be good. What happened to all those guys?
Yeah, they all made a bunch of money and just decided, hey, I'm just going to party.
A bunch of losers.
And this is why I don't follow golf, sir.
Yeah, well, that's a lot of reasons why. all right, I got to tell you about TGS. TGS Insurance. Are you a person who has too much money? That's the question you need to ask yourself. If you're a homeowner and you have too much money, you don't have to listen to this. If you could use to save some money, TGS wants to help you there. It's so simple. All you got to do is send a text. They've got an innovative system. It's already shopped the home insurance prices for every home in the Houston area. They already know what you can be saving. It's time for you to start putting that money in your pocket. Grab your phone, text the word money to 232323. They're going to ask for your address. Reply back. Boom. Full quote, proposal with excellent coverage within 15 seconds, just like that. This company, these savings, they are legit. They've got a nearly perfect online rating, over 1,000 reviews. The average customer saving nearly $900 a year. No need to wait for your renewal. They're going to take care of the back end, get you refunded on your old policy so you can start saving now. They're open today. Text the word money to 232323. Start saving money today with TGS Insurance.
Oh, yeah.
You're listening to The Blitz.
Rock and roll, boys.
On ESPN 97.5. You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
And on ESPN 97.5.com.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. And this will conclude the golf talk. We were talking about this on Twitch.
Thank God.
Cody says, the reason why the big names are missing from golf, the kids that played golf during the Tiger craze are now really good and can win any tournament. The gap between great and really good has decreased, more parity. And I was talking about this on Twitch. There was a time where I watched every freaking tournament and knew every single player, and that was back when Fred Couples was really good and guys like that, way before most of you were born. And then Tiger came along and just started dominating, and the only thing that made it, I mean, like, golf was only interesting if Tiger played. And now that he's not what he was, I'm just not interested in any of these cats. And I can't really tell you why, because I used to love it. But not anymore. And I like playing golf games. I'm about that.
I'm definitely about that NBA or PGA 2K21.
Yeah.
That's a fun-ass game.
That's a well-done game.
Although putting is very hard.
Yeah, I'm struggling with that. But, yeah, I'll get it down. It just takes practice like anything else.
I mean, it's just like real life. The closer I get to the hole in real golf, the worse I am at golf. I mean,
most of these games, in real life, I can actually putt. Everything else is guesswork. At least I used to be able to. I don't even play anymore, so it doesn't really count. But most of the time in the games, I can figure out the putting pretty easily. It's just the other stuff. But this one, it's kind of the opposite. I'm doing pretty well with everything but putting. Not doing great at chipping either, but, you know. I'll learn. I'll get there. And someday I'll win the PGA Tour on there. You watch. Let's squeeze in a call. Joseph. What's up, Joseph?
Sports and stuff.
Sports and stuff. What's up, buddy?
What's going on, guys? I just want to take my take in on the Rockets. Like,
their whole pressure, they have all the immense pressure going in tomorrow for the game. The Westbrook and Harden's legacies are going to be on the line. And if we lose Game 7, it's going to be the third straight year we lose because of Chris Paul. That's all I want to take in. Thank you, guys.
Yeah, I guess you could look at it that way. I don't know. I get, here's my real honest question to Rockets fans. If you lose this game tomorrow, does it change your mind? Because I know a lot of you, I've gotten so much grief because I said years ago, if James Harden's your best player, you're not winning a championship. If they lose tomorrow, does it bring you around and you're going to go, you know what, we're not winning with this guy? I'm honestly curious if Rocket fan feels that way. If people want to, yep, what, text, call, tweet, let me know. I'm curious if people are convinced, if that would convince people.
But here's the problem, is the guys that you're asking to be convinced are...
They're red rowdies.
They're going to be, they're winning, they're winning. And as far as their legacies goes, this isn't going to change their legacies. They've got a long history of being playoff losers.
The only thing that changes legacies for Russ or Chris Paul or James Harden is winning a championship at this point. All those guys are Hall of Famers. They're all, you know, they're all going to be in the Hall of Fame. But if they don't win a championship, they're never going to be looked at as top tier guys.
No. And that's the thing. So this has nothing to do with legacy. Whoever loses tomorrow.
James Harden's just going to be miniature Karl Malone.
Yeah. So, but yeah, I don't think you, I don't think the fans you're looking for are going to give you the answer you want right now. Now, let's see how they feel after tomorrow if they lose. But,
Manny says they lose tomorrow, D'Antoni and Morey are gone. When they lose to the Lakers, D'Antoni's gone. We'll have to sit through another 4 years with the nerd GM. That's entirely possible. I do. If they lose tomorrow, it may be just mass explosion in that building.
I don't know how patient Tillman's going to be here.
He doesn't seem like a patient dude, right?
And having seen how impatient he's been at UH, I think if this were to happen, it would be a bad, bad look to give all that stuff to Oklahoma City, and suddenly Chris Paul decides to get motivated and play well. And stay healthy, which, you know, helps with the shorter season, and knocks them out, then I could see some bloodletting beyond D'Antoni there. So, we'll see. I don't know. I don't know how. I haven't heard much from Tillman these days because I haven't heard much from anybody.
Tillman's busy with the roof blowing off his casinos and his restaurants, you know, pouring money. So, I'm sure he's in a great mood these days. So, my guess is if they lose to the Thunder in the first round, he won't even be that upset. Big deal.
Either that or he's already in a bad enough mood that he's going to be like, you know what? Get him out of here. Get them all out of here. Put him in the bathroom. let's try Matt. Let's see what Matt has to say.
Hey, guys. Sports.
Hey, sports, Matt.
So, I moved over here from Baton Rouge about 5 years ago. Didn't know anybody. No, Rockets kind of filled that void for me, and I fell in love with them, especially after being a Pelicans fan. And I can tell you without a doubt, if Harden doesn't finish here, I'm writing him off. I'm done.
Yeah. Listen, you came at a bad time, I'm afraid, because there, one thing that James – when you have a player like James, I get it. I get the idea that you're hopeful because I think to a man, everybody will say James Harden is a top 5 to 10 player in the NBA – any given year in the last 5 years. In the last 5 years, you've not been able to rank James Harden outside the top 10. Many of those years, he's been in the top five.
Short. He's been second in the MVP, third in the MVP, top five, man.
Okay. Well, I'm saying there's probably been a year or two where he's been outside the top five, but I'm overall, he's been a top five player in the league. When you have a guy like that, your initial thought is, well, we got a guy like that. We've got a chance here, baby. And it's just not worked out. So I understand being frustrated. I'll take what the Rockets had before when they, you know, when I first moved here, Fred, when it was, if Yao Ming can stay healthy and Shane Battier comes up, like, I'll take that team over this because at least then I knew there was a pretty defined ceiling. with James Harden, when you have a player like that, you feel like there should be no ceiling, but there's clearly a ceiling.
Yeah, and I think they may have missed their chance. And part of it was, unfortunately, running up against the Warriors when they were at their best. And there's no embarrassment to me in losing to that team. But, you know, I don't know that now. I don't know that they haven't missed their chance. And I'm kind of baffled. Bernard says, Harden is nowhere near Karl Malone. Respect Malone. Really?
I think he's on his way to being Karl Malone. He's going to be a guy who scores a ton of points. Like,
wins a lot of regular season games. Yeah.
When their careers are over, they're going to have very similar numbers. And Karl Malone's a guy who's, you know, that's a dude who scored a lot of points.
Yeah.
Now, did they get him anything? No, but that's why Karl Malone is kind of forgotten as a great player. In the NBA, much like NFL quarterbacks, I mean, I think Dan Marino might be the exception of guys who are considered amongst the all-time greats that doesn't have a ring.
Yeah.
Like, Jim Kelly's not considered an all-time. Like,
Dan Fouts was amazing, but nobody puts him in that conversation.
Yep. You've got, like, the NBA is the same way. To be considered one of the truly all-time elite players, you have to have at least one ring. Preferably two. But one gets you in the conversation, at least. And yeah, he doesn't have that.
And
doesn't appear to be getting
Malone
it.
Malone couldn't even do it when he tried to team up with the Lakers at the end of his career. So, but no, I can't sit here and tell you Harden is nowhere near Karl Malone. I mean, yeah, he sucks in the playoffs, but he's gonna have a terrific career. He's gonna be considered one of the best scorers of this era. He's just not gonna win anything. All right, quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5, broadcasting safely with our masks from Boomer Naturals.
Order now at BoomerNaturals.com and use promo code ESPN Houston for 20% off.